Hey, Billy. How are you?
I'm very good. Before we start, do you like Alex, Alexandra?
Alex is fine.
Yeah. Cool.
Just awesome. Easier, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
It's not three syllables.
So, first of all, congratulations to your baby.
Ah, thank you very much. Yeah. She's 8 weeks today.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting. So, It was kind of Christmas time, right?
And it's like a week before Christmas, yeah.
Oh, perfect surprise.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, though. For kids, I don't know if I would be happy with a birthday right near Christmas. Okay. Because you don't get to...
It's the same.
It's the same. People are like, oh, we'll just get you a Christmas and birthday present together. I prefer both.
It's funny because my uncle is on Christmas Day and my dad is on New Year's Day. So.
Really?
So they're both brothers. Wow. Exactly like same time around Christmas. So.
Yeah. Awesome. And so is your family still back in Slovakia?
Yeah, in Slovakia.
Yeah, okay.
So tell me more about you, because we met and we talked a little bit, and I understand that you are a lot in, you know, dentistry, and I will be super curious why and what brought you in on that path.
Yeah.
And I know you do a lot of training, sales trainings, and also podcast. So I will be curious, how did you end up where you are at right now, and give us a little bit of background.
It's a pretty long story, so I'll give you the shortened version.
Let's see.
Yeah, I always say that, and then it always ends up being the long version. But the short version is, I left school and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And
Like everybody,
yeah. And I ended up going to university doing a degree, which I really didn't like. And I was about three quarters of the way through it. And a couple of my friends from school said, we're all going to join the Navy. We're all going down to recruitment to join the Navy. Do you want to come? And I was like, well, I really don't want to do this degree. So I was like, yeah, sure. So the four of us went down there. And out of the four of us, I was the only one who ended up joining up. Which is ironic considering it wasn't my idea in the first place. And so I ended up doing 8 years in the Navy and did two tours of Iraq and Afghanistan, spent about 14, 15 months over there, which was obviously the situation or the circumstances that I was over there wasn't great, but it was a great life experience for me. I got to really immerse myself in the culture when we went, you know, into the different places in the Middle East and things like that. And I think early on in my life, because I was born in England, I used to travel a lot with my family early on through Europe, and which is why I was interested in your background. And then I've always loved different cultures and whatnot, and the Navy gave me the experiences to be able to go to different places through Asia and the Middle East and places like that. So that was fantastic. But I won't go into too much detail about this, but I was in a relationship with someone. I was engaged to a female, and she was due to get out of the Navy, and we were going to get married and things like that. And I had some money saved up from being away, and I said to her, what are you going to do? And she said, I want to buy this beauty salon. It's part of a franchise. And so I ended up basically funding it, and I'd purchased some properties and things like that, and I used my properties as collateral to get some loans to buy the business and whatnot. And on my second deployment away, I came back and I found out that she was misusing the money in the business. And the business wasn't great.
Not a lot of stories like that.
Yeah. And the more I looked into it, the more I was kind of shocked by what was happening. And there was a lot of, because of the mistrust there, the relationship sort of broke down. And I said to her, well, what are you going to do about the business? And she said, well, it's in your name, so you have to figure it out.
Okay.
And, of course, I had my properties attached to the business as well. And so I had no choice but to leave the Navy and sort of jump into this world of business, which at that point, and I was, 27, I think it was, I had no interest in business, really. My mum has always been very entrepreneurial, and I've sort of been around that. But it wasn't something where when I grew up, I was like, you know what, I want to get into entrepreneurship. I want to be a business owner. It just never was something that I was overly passionate about or interested in. But the dire situation of that business at the time, it made me have to immerse myself in business, because if I didn't, then the business was going to, you know, fail.
A lot of money.
Yeah. And so I ended up finding someone, interestingly, I'm interested to hear a lot more about your mentorship today, because one of the first things I got advised to do is to find a business coach. It was a coach/mentor. His name was Evan Colby. He was in Perth, which I know you've got some background in Perth. And he taught me all about business and about systemization and things like this. And I love maths and I love numbers.
Oh, wow.
And so the systemizing of the business and understanding that if you pull this lever, then it moves three different things. And if you don't pull this lever, then those things don't move. But you need to know which lever to pull. Otherwise, you can just be randomly pulling all these different levers and pushing all these buttons and get no results.
Yeah.
And you feel tired and overwhelmed and stressed and all these different things, but you don't know why. And so he actually taught me a lot about identifying, well, firstly, how to identify what the problems were, or if you want to achieve this goal, what do you need to do?
Mm.
And the more I got into it, the more I just became obsessed. I started reading tons of books. And, you know, I got obsessed with Tony Robbins and all of these different big gurus in the mindset space and sales and marketing and all these different things. And then I decided to walk away from the franchise and start my own. And then from there, I'd had enough of retail. I'd had enough of going to spending Christmases and, you know, working up until Christmas and then back in on Christmas Eve because we were in shopping centers and things like this. And a lot of people at the time were saying, well, could you teach me how to do marketing? And so I was like, yeah, I can teach you how to do that. So I started doing some coaching around that. And then I found out that most people actually just wanted marketing done for them. And by this stage, I'd done a lot of training and development in marketing and whatnot. And so
yeah,
I started to do a lot of that. And our business was huge. It got really, really big very, very fast. We had 65 people. We had a 40-person sales team.
Amazing.
It was like 15 people in marketing and then obviously some admin roles and accounts roles and things like that. And it was huge. And then COVID. And because I was predominantly looking after the industry I knew best, which was the skin clinics, hair, beauty, the cosmetic space, you know, cosmetic injectables and things like that. Unfortunately, that industry
closed down.
Yeah, it was the first one to get closed down
and
the last one reopened. And a lot of our clients were in Victoria and New South Wales, and we were owed a lot of money from the work we'd done. And we were doing a lot of work in good faith to keep people generating income during lockdowns, you know, trying to help them to grow the business. And when they did come out of lockdown to have, you know, just clients to go back to. But unfortunately, that situation was not sustainable because we didn't know how long the lockdowns were going to go. And we didn't know how long. Correct. And so I sat down and thought about it, and I was like, well, what is an industry that is similar? It's service-based, it's brick and mortar, but it's not subject to lockdowns, you know, it's something that's going to maintain. And so I spoke to one of my friends who I knew was very big in dental. And I said, do you have any people you know of that would want to do some marketing? And I'll do it for free for them to show them the results that we can get. So he gave me a couple of names. I phoned them up and did some free marketing for them. And from there, it just exploded. And this was probably about 4 years ago. This is when I started getting to dental. And within about 12 months, I was doing more in dental marketing than I was in the previous business in terms of revenue and profit. I was working with businesses that were generating $800,000 a year and then also looking after some massive organizations in dental who were earning over $60 million a year. And so in a very, very short period of time, I got some really incredible exposure. I feel so blessed and grateful for that opportunity because it got me exposure to what is the mindset of people who are generating $800,000? Why are they? Is it because of choice or is it because of lack of skills and knowledge and capabilities right now? And what is the mindset of people who are generating $60 million? And I can tell you categorically that it's a very, very different mindset. You know, it's like I was just listening to some content when I was driving here to the studio today, and they were talking about like, you know, I don't like losing, but losing makes me appreciate winning more. It's part of the winning process. And I know that if I try long enough and hard enough, I will never lose. It's only when you quit, you lose. And that is kind of the mindset of those big, you know, thinkers and big growth mindset. And so, yeah, that was the, like I said, that was the short version. There's a lot of details that I could insert into that. I know it was a little bit longer than expected, but that's how I'm here right now, yeah.
No, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's an amazing story and it's amazing to hear that, you know, someone was so flexible and just quickly how that was the word pivot, you know, like quickly and change the industry, change the things that have to be changed. I think that's amazing. Some people didn't manage, right? Like they just didn't know what to do and how to do it. So it's great that you had that resourceful mindset already and you were able to be pretty flexible and try new things. So probably very open. So I would be curious because there is a lot of transitions. So when I'm thinking always about people they listening to the podcast, they will be probably, okay, so how that sounds so easy, right? I'm sure there were some challenges. So what was the challenge? Because I know that, like, running the business from ground, you know, from with no money and just really starting something, it's quite kind of hard for a lot of people. And they got into cycle of doing so many things. And I love when you said, you know, you need to know what to pull so you don't get exhausted, tired, burnout, because you're working so hard, you're working 7 days a week, and you realize the results are not there because you're operating from stress. So I'll be curious about that. Like, how did you learn, you know, what to pull? And if you can tell us more about that when people are really just running on autopilot.
Yeah, well, I love the quote, people celebrate the trophies, but they don't understand the training. Or they don't reflect on the training. And it's so true. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that, you know, I think in Australia, in a lot of ways, we are blessed to have a safety net. And we have, comparatively to other countries in the world, our safety net is huge. You know, there's benefits for this and there's rebates for that. And there's like, we'll pick you up if you fall down, if this happens. But for a lot of countries around the world, they don't even have anything close to that. There's nothing there. And I think that that's a blessing and a curse, because the thing for me that really allowed me to start to progress in the first instance was the fact I had everything on the line. I had three properties, or four properties to my name, a business attached to that, and those properties were guaranteeing the business. And so when I, you know, normally it takes 12 months to discharge from the Navy, but you can put in for a, what's called an immediate discharge or an emergency discharge, and they will, given under certain circumstances, allow you to discharge quicker. And so I had to do that, because I had to make a case to say, this person is walking away from this business that I own on paper, but I don't run. And if I don't go in and salvage this, then I'm going to lose everything that I've worked for the last 8 years. And so they allowed me to do that. But because I was then thrown into, you know, and I remember, I mean, it's a bit crass, but it's a funny story. I remember on day one standing at the front desk of this salon that I didn't know anything about. And a middle-aged woman comes up to me and goes, yeah, I just want to book in for a Brazilian wax. And I was just like, I was so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to say. And there was all the other team were like around doing treatments with other people. And so I had to have this conversation about Brazilian wax. But to me now, like, I'm so comfortable with it because I worked in that space for a long time. But I remember on day one, I was like, I didn't know what to do. But it was a really dire situation. And because of that, I was in some ways forced to have to immerse myself, not just in working every day in the business, but I also had to understand the mechanic or the mechanisms that make this business work. Yeah. And because of that first instance, it laid a really solid foundation for me. I had good mentoring. I had good knowledge being passed on to me. I was being put in the right direction for me to learn the right things. I mean, it's always the argument between marketing and sales. You know, people in sales will say the leads aren't good. Oh, they're rubbish leads, you know. And people in marketing will say, well, the sales team just don't know how to convert them. And so there's always, it's always difficult with marketing because there's a lot of people who you do get results for, but there's a lot of people you do get results
just
for.
Just give it to me.
but they don't have the skill set yet. I always like to use that word yet. To be able to convert, or they don't have the systems in place to be able to follow up and manage those leads. You know, I say to people all the time, it's like if you could somehow wave a magic wand and have some oversight onto how many people have contacted your business. You know, I always say a lead, what defines a lead is someone who's giving you their contact details, right? So that could come in the way of a Facebook message, Instagram message. It could come in an email. It could be someone who just dropped into your business and say, yeah, just, you know, and the reception said, I can describe your details before I give you a brochure or whatever. It could be a phone call or anything like that. If you could somehow wave a magic wand and just say, you know, and see how many people have contacted your business that you have not ended up doing business with for no other reason than you just don't have follow-up processes in place or lead management processes in place.
Love it.
You'd probably curl up in, you know, fetal position in the corner crying, you know, because it would be huge. And so with marketing, we always like to take it one step further. When we sign our client up for marketing, we're not just saying we're going to get you some leads. We also will try to qualify those leads as best we can, because we know that a lot of, especially with small businesses, they don't have those processes in place. they don't have the knowledge yet or experience yet to be able to close, you know, warm leads or certainly cold leads. And also to introduce a lead management system for them and train them how to use that lead management system so they don't fall out. And so we always like to put a CRM system in place for them, and people say, well, I've got a point of sale system, you know. I'm like, that's not the same thing, you know. Point of sale tracks your bookings and tracks your reports and revenue and things like that. Your CRM is, we're going to use this as a lead management. And so so in a long way, your question was, how do you know which one to choose, right? I think honestly, in business, I've found that my gut is pretty good.
That's what I was going to take. I'm sure you just knew because you met the right people, and then that's not how usually that happens to people, right? Like, you don't meet right people. You need to be very much tuned in. I believe you just need to have that feel for people.
Yeah.
So you know what, this is the right person. It's my intuition. I can feel it. You know what, I'm going to say yes, I'm going to do this. And I think a lot of people, when they're in stress, they don't develop that. They have that basic. They're cut off, right, from intuition or creative mind. So I would say that probably you haven't been so much in stress, and you learn to operate from different states, because that is the big one, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. But I mean, it's not to say that throughout, you know, my 14 years in business, I haven't definitely been in that state.
Yeah.
And I think that's in some ways it's one of the most reassuring things for people to hear. Is that when you listen to people who, you know, have done well in business, you've navigated different charts, you know, charted different courses, and all these different things happen, and people see a successful person, they think that it's just been a linear sort of, you know,
success.
Yeah, it's like they started here and now they're here. It's like, no, if you actually drew the line, people who are watching the video will be able to see this, but if not, I'll just describe it. It's like you kind of go up a little bit and then you twirl around for a little bit, and then you go back down again, and then you fall right to the bottom, and then you come back up again. And if you actually see the line, you know, over time, it's not a linear line at all.
It's a mess.
It's a scribble, right? But the main thing, though, is to keep going. And so I think that that's a reassuring thing for people to hear, is that, you know, if you are in a situation right now where you're like, I felt like I was going somewhere and now I feel like I'm 5 years behind. It's like, no, that happens. Every single person that you know of, every single person that you look at on YouTube, or you celebrate their success, or you look up to, and, you know, even if they're making billions of dollars a year, just know that they have been in that place, that lonely place where it's like nobody understands and I don't know what to do and I'm stressed.
Oh, yes. I cry so much in the room. It's my home office. I was so happy nobody can see me. I was like, my team is online. That's good. Close the door. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to give up, right? And that's what everybody experienced, but nobody really talks about it.
100%.
I remember when I said it once, I don't know if there was a podcast or somebody asked me, and that was my colleague, and he was like, oh, please just don't share that you're crying, because, you know, guys are not going to understand. I said, but it's true. I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
Like, I was so desperate that I don't know how to release. Like, you know, sport didn't work, that nothing worked. So I was like, I had to go close the doors and cry.
Yeah.
Because I was just lost.
Yeah.
And I know when I will cry, I can stand up after and I can continue.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't say it. I was like, no, I will share it.
I think that comes back, circling back though, to what we were saying before about your gut. And I think that authenticity is aligned very much with another person's gut instinct. If you meet somebody and you can tell that they are just being genuine and authentically them, then I think your gut says, I can trust this person. Even if that information they're saying to you, maybe they don't want to work with someone who's crying. Okay, that's fine, right? But at least in the future, when you say, I'm not crying anymore, at least they have a good representation of who you are, or a good reflection of who you are, because they go, but at least she was honest. And you know what? In business, what the number one thing I've learned about in business is that the people you should be gravitating to are people who are honest.
Yeah. And I think that's what we are missing a lot, because the social media, I feel like that's what I see a lot. Even that I get so many messages, you know, people want to come for a podcast session and do interview. I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. Like what you just told me, it's not what I want to present, because you don't need to say something more about you than you are.
Yeah.
That's not what people are looking for.
100%.
They're looking for something that is real.
Something
that's
real.
And yes, of course, like it's great to have someone here, you know, that already succeeded and have great success in a business and financials. That's awesome. But there is other part of it. Why you will listen to podcast? You want to learn something, right?
Yeah,
you want to get some hope. you're going to get some things that you can be like, oh, yes, this is me, you know, forward. So I believe to share actually downs or ups and downs and talk about them honestly and being honest, that's what is missing. People usually show you the nice side of it, right?
Like, and that is what social media is, right? Yeah. It's like
the polished one.
Yeah, it's the highlight reel and you're comparing it to your, you know, your B-roll sort of thing, you know, the behind the scenes. You're crying in the corner in your room as you described. Oh, but look at Sarah. She is on another holiday. Yeah, but in between those holidays, Sarah's also crying in her room. And let's not forget that, you know. But there's definitely ways which, you know, like, as you said at the start, I've just had another child, which is my fourth. And so as the stress of parenting and trying to balance those things out as well, you know, I'm also learning new tools and trying to focus on new tools to help me manage that stress as well.
So four kids.
Four.
Oh my God. Yeah. You don't want to send some kids to me?
I will hold you that. You can have all of them, actually. In fact, in case you're watching. No. Maybe just
kids don't listen to this.
Yeah. Just maybe for a night or something. But look, kids are one of the best teachers in the world.
Yeah.
You know, if not the best teacher in the world. I was never taught patience until I had children.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I said, because I don't have kids and I really wanted, so hopefully we will try one day.
Yeah.
And it will somehow work. Miracles may happen.
Yep.
So it's funny because I was thinking, because my major thing was impatience. Like, I was like, I need to work. Last 2 years, I'm working on patience.
Yeah.
And it's pretty tough. And that's only business, right? Or people or clients, like, or your own situation. So I'm really happy I'm preparing for that. So hopefully I have a little bit of training in patience.
Oh, you'll need it. You will need it. So my second child, my first child, he's 12. He's very much like me. Very much like me. And most people that, you know, who know, that's your mini me, you know. He's sporty. He's active. He's definitely got some ADHD. He's like, you know, he's just all over the place and very high energy and talks flat out, doesn't stop talking. And, you know, the things that frustrate me the most about him, my mum always says to me, Billy, that's just karma, because that was exactly how you were, you know. The things where I'm like, oh, he's just like, that was just you when you were a kid, you know. Yeah. So, but my second, he's the total opposite. He's such a gentle soul. And there's something about him just melts my heart. He's just I can't put into words. He's so different to my first, but he's just so gentle. And but the other side of it is he's so slow with everything. It's like, come on, mate, let's go to school. We got to get in the car. Okay.
Yeah,
you know, just,
I can totally see it.
Yeah, and I'm like, can you hurry? And in his mind, he's like, I'm hurrying. But so for me, those little things where I'm like, okay, take a breath, and so little things like that have taught me patience. But you know, interestingly, when I do sales training, you mentioned before I do sales training, we talk a lot about the three different types of people: the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. You know, visual people, they sit upright, they talk really fast, they gesticulate a lot, so they use their hands a lot. they'll tend to, you know, look you very much eye contact and things like this. Whereas auditory people, a lot more rhythmical in their voice, you know, very easy to listen to, up and down, kind of sounds like they're singing.
That's what I'm trying to learn.
Yeah, right. And then you have the kinesthetic, which
it's very calm.
Very slow and very calm. They'll have long pauses between statements.
I can see straight away people, and it's like, oh, that's getting a little impatient.
Yeah, right. Speaking. And so here's a good sales tip is when you are so knowing the three different people, I always said, well, what do you think the percentage of people? Obviously, there's 8 billion people in the world. You can't survey everybody, but big enough sample size has been done with these studies, and they've determined that the number one, or what do you think it is? What do you think is the biggest group?
Kinesthetic.
No, the biggest group is visual, 70%.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And the second group is 20%, which is auditory. And the last group is 10%.
Okay.
Which is kinesthetic. And so noting that, it's like, well, how do you sell? How should you sell? Well, how do most people sell? Well, most people sell in the mode that you are. So everyone will have a primary and a secondary, right? So if I said to you, noting those three different descriptions, what do you think your primary is?
Definitely visionary, yeah.
Visual? So visual and kinesthetic.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So mine will be visual and auditory. Okay. So auditory people as well, if you're talking to them, they'll often tilt their head. which is a sign of active listening. So you imagine you have a partner. So if you're talking to your partner and he's tilting his head, just know he's active listening.
Oh, yeah, that never happens.
Yeah, so when you go home and you're telling him about your day, yeah, he says, how's your day, honey? And then you start telling him and he's just got his straight head. You're like, you're not active. It's obviously not always the case. But it's a good trick. But for me, is my primary is visual. So I'm a very fast talker. I use my hands a lot. I say things like, I like the look of that, you know, whereas auditory person say, that sounds good. Yeah, things like that, right? But I can very easily flip into auditory as well. Yeah. So the question is, well, how should you sell to somebody? What mode should you sell? Well, the other question is, what mode do you sell? And the mode that you do sell, if you were just left to your own devices, is the mode that you are. So if I was just left to my own devices, naturally, I would sell in a visual way. I'd be like, yeah, so you should definitely buy this bottle of water. You're like, and I would just, you know, I'd talk fast and I'd be really animated, very energetic. What mode should you sell? Well, you should sell in the mode of the other person. Yep. Because as you just mentioned before, you said you're a visual person, but you said your secondary is kinesthetic. Let's say your secondary is auditory. If you who has a primary mode of visual is getting sold to by someone who is kinesthetic.
Oh, I will never be. You can't sell me. You can't. I'm done.
This bottle of water here, it's...
I'm leaving.
So. Yeah, right. In your mind, if you're stuck in a room, like a treatment or what have you, or a consultation of some sort, and you're stuck there, in your mind, you'll be nodding your head. But what you're really doing is like, did I leave the garage door open? What have I got on this weekend?
I think it's more like frustrations is also like raising in you.
Yeah, right. Like, have you got a fast forward button? Yeah.
It's like, what's the point of this conversation? What is the result? Just give me result.
There you go. That's a visual person, right? What is the result? What is the outcome here? But the opposite applies. If you are visual and you're selling to somebody whose mode is kinesthetic, and I'm like, yes, you should definitely get this. It's going to hydrate you so well. And I'm getting all animated. What they're thinking is, oh my God, what is wrong with this person?
Yeah, I know.
It's like just like white noise to them. It's too much.
They get overwhelmed, yeah.
Yeah, so the secret to selling is to always try to... Combine. So you got to learn the skill to understand what is the other person, what mode are they in, or what is their primary mode, and then change your sales approach because that's how you will connect. That's how you... Effective communication because they will actually listen and receive the information as it's intended. So for a business owner... It's like, what should you have in your business? Unfortunately, the worst salespeople, I say worst, it's not the worst, but the least successful salespeople, let's put it that way, are usually kinesthetic. And the reason for that is because for me as a visual person, if I came to you, it's very easy for me to change my mode, right? I can go from visual to auditory to kinesthetic very easily. Oh, come with me. Sit down. Over here. But if you are a naturally kinesthetic person,
it's very hard.
You are someone whose normal mode is, hi, how are you? You know,
you can't just jump.
And then you say, okay, I need you to be visual. It's very, very difficult for them to do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's like you need to tap into energy you don't have.
Correct. Yeah. And so just to clarify a point though, like people's like, oh, so kinesthetic people aren't good. No, kinesthetic people are beautiful people. If you have a kinesthetic person in your life, like, that's the sort of person you want when you are in the room crying, right? Because they're the people who will just come in and hold you and they'll be empathetic and you will feel genuine, authentic love, compassion, and empathy. And it will make you feel better in that moment. You know, so you want those people. But because we're talking about business and sales at this moment anyway, it's like it's very difficult for a kinesthetic person to be successful in sales. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I will actually go back because we kind of like jump into sales straight away. But I think there was a few things I asked you around, like, how do you know what is not working? So, for example, when you said that you need to pull the right things in your business so you know that the result will happen. So what do you do usually? You just come and do like a gap analysis or how do you look at the business when something doesn't or when the business is not getting results? So what do you do?
Yeah, so there's a saying that I learned very early on in business. I think it was Twiggy Forrest from Fortescue Metals that said it. I'm not sure. I've tried to research this quote since. I'm sure it was him, but I'm not sure. And he said there's three rules I use in business to be successful. And for those of you who don't know who Twiggy Forrest is, he's multi-billionaire from the mining sector. Three rules I've learned to be successful in business. Measure everything, measure everything, measure everything.
Yeah.
And that's how you know the levers to pull. The numbers do not lie. People lie. Yeah. People lie all the time. Even with the best of intentions, people lie all the time. And certainly people don't like feeling like they're not enough. And so when you are critical of somebody or you even pose a question which might make them feel like they're not succeeding or they haven't done a good job, then people will manipulate the truth. You know, some people might say it's a little white lie, but oftentimes those white lies can be
It's just a story. Damaging. You can tell a story without numbers, and numbers tells you the right story, right?
Correct. So, numbers do not lie.
Yeah.
And so if you really want to know which levers to pull, you have to dissect your business and break it down into the most minuscule numbers in every single part of that business. How many phone calls are you making? How long do those phone calls go for? What is the general outcome of that call?
Yeah.
What is the average dollar sale? As in, what is the average transaction value? Okay, and now if the average transaction of that business, if we'll just use easy numbers, is $100, that's because Jane, Sarah, and Bob are doing $60. But Emma is averaging $210. I know that maths doesn't add, but you'll get the idea. Okay, what is Emma doing? Why have I got three staff members who are doing sub $100, but Emma's doing more than 200 on average? So that means she's doing transactions that are even more sometimes, And so then you go into Emma, and now I'm going to break down Emma's numbers. Well, how many calls does she make? What's the time of that call? What's her sales cycle? And then you find out that what Emma's doing is simply adding on another product to every transaction. So these people are doing well in sales. They're converting a high number, so that's consistent. But what Emma is doing is every time a sale is converted, she also says to that person, hey, you know what?
Yeah, it's
awesome. You are also going to get this will complement this perfectly. And she does that really well, and those three aren't. Okay, now I know what lever to pull. I need to do training on these three people about upselling. And so that's just like obviously a very simple example. But again, just going back to the very start, the great thing that I had when I had that business coach at the very start was that he taught me how to read numbers in a business. And he taught me which numbers to read. And you know, for people who are like, oh, I wouldn't know where to start, just start with a Google sheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and just break it down. You're so lucky. Like when I first started, and it was only 14 years ago, we didn't have anywhere near the tools that are available now, you know, software systems that will generate. I used to have to go into about 14 different reports just to get the number on one thing, you know. Now, and with especially with AI, AI will, even if you just pull the data and you plug it into AI, AI will dissect it for you and give you an analysis.
I think that's incredible. So incredible,
yeah. Yeah, so systemize your business, understand the numbers, break it down to the most, you know, smallest amount, and the numbers will tell you.
Yeah. I agree.
Without question. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's funny because we were doing some events, and when you go into even just like a LinkedIn and past events, you know, we have a lot of numbers, like everybody kind of register or say yes. So you can see it's 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, or 80 people. And we had the event out, and it was 4 people. And I said, something is wrong, right? But the thing is that people usually say, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm done. I'm probably, nobody wants to see me. You know, everybody always starts with themselves.
Yeah.
And start to have very negative language. But when I see the numbers and I say that there is something wrong, because something, there is a gap, right? There has to be, you know, communication. Maybe the message is not going out. Yeah. There is something wrong maybe with the copy because we're doing the same things. So we're like, that's not normal.
Yeah.
So what is happening, right? Like why people don't respond? So they can't find themselves in the copy probably. They don't understand that's for them.
Yeah.
So it's simple as that. But it's nothing about, you know, us doing something wrong. So just looking at numbers, like you said, you know, but don't straight away point, you know, like, okay, I'm doing everything wrong. I'm not good enough. I think that's another major thing that people see the numbers and they get so disappointed and they just take it personally.
Yeah. Well, it's like Thomas Edison, right? When he invented the light bulb. And we hadn't invented it yet. And he failed a thousand times. And I think that journalist asked him, he's like, you failed 1,000 times, Mr. Edison, you know. And he said, I haven't failed 1,000 times. I've just found 1,000 times that it doesn't work, you know. The 1,000 materials that don't work. And then eventually, he did. But it's true. Like, you know, it's all you're doing when you're trying new things, you're just creating a feedback loop. As long as you create the loop.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what people do is they create the thing, they don't get the result, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
And then they don't actually have the feedback loop to say, okay, exactly what you said, like, why didn't it work? What could we have done better? And, you know, we touched on marketing earlier. Why would you pay a lot of money for a marketer versus why would you pay a small amount for a marketer? Well, I always say to people that you're paying for experience. Because an experienced marketer spends a lot of their time in the numbers. Yeah. They're testing all these different campaigns. You know, we've spent about $50, $60 million on online ads now. And when you spend that much money, you get a lot of data back.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, well, what if we try that? I say, you can try that, but I'll let you know it doesn't work, you know. And I say, well, maybe it might for my business. It's okay, we'll try it. And sure enough, most times it doesn't work. Obviously, on occasion, sometimes it does. It's experience, different demographic or whatever. But it's experience. But again, that comes down to the numbers. When you're testing so many different campaigns, you know, analyzing and scrutinizing every single dollar and looking at, okay, what was your CPM on that? What was the cost per lead on that? What was the cost per acquisition on that? What creatives are working? What doesn't?
Yeah.
One of the things that's kind of a bit frustrating for me at the moment in marketing is small businesses who are getting obsessed with what's called vanity metrics. And a vanity metric is people are creating, so I'll talk about dental, for example. These dental practices are spending so much time with their team creating reels, right? Instagram reels or YouTube shorts, you know, short form video. And they'll turn around and say, yeah, well, look, we got 400 likes on this and 60 comments on that. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is, are those people going to do business with you? And a lot of, you know, brand ambassadors and things like that, we see failed brand ambassadorships because that person is the influencer in the spotlight, has got a lot of followers.
But nothing.
But those people are never, ever, ever going to come to your business and do business with you. And so people are starting to get obsessed, especially with short-form video, because there's an entertainment value to that, right? So short-form video is not just about positioning your product or service. There's an entertainment value, which is exactly what you should be doing if you get it right. If you're targeting the right audience and those people are converting, that's the secret sauce, right? It's like you make it informative but also entertaining because people will watch it. But people are becoming so obsessed with these vanity metrics that they go, I don't like that post that only got 15 likes because this one over here got 500. Yes, but those 15 likes turned into 4 customers.
Yeah.
And that one there turned into nothing. And but again, so it's looking at the numbers. Don't just look at, that's not a full feedback loop, right? It's like you create the video, you're getting the likes, but that's...
It's not just psychology. Yeah, it's just when you said that, you know, like reels are pretty much just fun, right? Like you watch it because it's fun. Mm. So it's nothing else.
Scrolling, like...
It's 30 seconds. It's like, oh, cool dance, you know, or like whatever.
Yeah, 100%,
So that means nothing. It just means that that time when you watch it, it just makes you feel a little bit better, but you forget the video in a second. You're going to another 30 videos, right?
Yeah,
especially when you have scrollers. You know, people, they're just scrolling.
Yeah.
And I've been there.
Yeah.
I was scrolling.
When you're crying in the room sometimes.
These people dance so great.
Yeah. Their life is so much better than mine.
Yeah. I should just dance. So yeah, I had those moments. But I'm trying to stay away from my phone as much as I can because I'm really not enjoying it. But yeah, it's definitely just showing you the state of being of person there when they're watching, but it's not giving you anything. So I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So what? Okay, so you're looking at the numbers. You found the gaps and fixed the gaps.
Correct.
So with your, I would say with your fast forward thinking, your visions, and just being very active, I believe you had a lot of challenges. But I believe the challenges are not much meaning to you. You just go through them. So I'm curious about the challenge. That was the challenge, like a real challenge for you.
Did you experience
any challenge in your business that really kind of, you know, put you on a pause, or it's like, wow, okay, so I need to restart.
Definitely the COVID thing. The business was doing so well.
Mm.
You know, we were generating a lot. You know, when you got 65 staff, 40 salespeople, you're generating a lot.
Comfortable, comfortable business. Yeah. Beautiful.
But then by the time the decision was made that we had to stop doing that, you know, we were owed, I think it was 280,000 or something like that in invoices, which you could probably say maybe you could have salvaged that. But when there's no clear answer as to when this will stop, you know, like, okay,
can't break
in 12 months, is it going to be 12 months? Is it going to be 2 years? And so you've got to keep paying your staff because Queensland, we were so lucky because you weren't here for COVID. You were in Perth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Queensland, we had probably I think the most relaxed lockdown laws in Australia.
We really weren't locked down
at all. So we had a massive office. The office is huge. We could fit about 200 people in the office. It was huge, and we had a full roster of staff, and we were paying wages every single week. But when you're working to hope that you're going to get these invoices paid and this work is going to be returned in payment in the future, when you're doing that and all money every single week just keeps going out the door, but there's no end in sight, it's like, shit, this is a real problem.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we basically had to shut the whole thing down. And
because you're going to fund the business for a while, but not for 2 years. If it's 2 years, it's, yeah.
But if you know it's 2 years, then you're okay.
At least you can plan.
Yeah, I can plan. All right, this is what we need to do for 2 years because at 2 years, we'll be ready to go and we'll recover. But there was no plan in place for that. You know, there was nothing. That was really, really challenging. Yeah. I remember like sitting in my bath, like with my iPad and iPen, you know, thing with your drawing iPad and just writing down all these different ideas, like trying to figure out how can we do it? How can we do it? And, but you know what? Like I'm a big believer in, you seem like a spiritual person. Do you listen to Wayne Dyer?
Yes, I did listen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big Wayne Dyer fan, love Wayne Dyer. And, in moments where I'm feeling quite stressed or I'm feeling a little bit out of control, I feel like just listening to one of his videos, I hear his voice for like 10 seconds. I'm like,
oh. I was doing the same. Michael Singer.
Oh yeah. 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 Right.
Just, I need podcasts.
Yeah, right. Somehow it just soothes me. Yeah. And he's a big believer in, he preaches a lot. Well, not anymore. He's passed away sadly, but, he talks a lot about universe alignment, you know, and I love his little stories about, he says, when you're a fetus in the womb, you don't get to 2 months. Yeah, well, you don't get to 2 months old, and you're swimming around in the sack and in the womb, and going, geez, I hope my nose grows out all right. Oh gosh, my ears are next. Hope they come all right. You don't do that. You just float about, and you just allow the universe to do it. There's a power. There's a wisdom, there's a universal wisdom that just says there's an energy that's, we're going to do this. But when you come out of the womb, all of a sudden you start to, your conscious brain kicks in. All of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I need to control this and I need to do that. And, you know, I need to change this and I have to have power over that. When reality is that there's a universal alignment, and sometimes the universe is just moving different pieces for you so you can go down the correct path. And if you spoke to me maybe 5-10 years ago about this, I would have been like,
it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like, that's all just sure. Wishy-washy for me, you know, you take hold of your own. And I'm not suggesting for a second you don't put in 100% and you don't give everything to whatever you want to achieve and whatever you want to succeed in. 100% you do that. But I do believe sometimes that things happen that are just realigning. You need to go from point A to point B there, but you are now heading out to point C, and something needs to happen because we've given you gentle reminders. We tried to push you gently, and you're not. So now I'm going to give you a massive obstacle because I need to push you back because that's where you need to be. And so I think throughout the course of my career, there's been many big obstacles that have happened. But I always try to remind myself of that. It's like, that's fine. And so I think going into dental was a really, really positive thing for me. I really enjoy the people in it. I like science. And so, you know, the medical aspect of it I like. And to be perfectly honest, what I'm about to say might sound abrupt, but I'll explain. Dentists usually have, I don't know how to say this, but dentists, a lot of dental practices make money. Okay. And so from a marketing point of view, it's not what people would think when I initially say that. It's like, oh, so what, you're going to make money because they make money. No, it's not about that. What I really like about it is that when I sign up a marketing client, if you had $5 and I asked for $2 of that, you would scrutinize exactly where every cent is being spent.
Yeah, so it gives you a little bit more freedom.
Correct. Yeah. Whereas they were like, no, here's the invoice, I'm going to pay you, and as long as you do it, and as long as at the end of the month I see the report and I see my business is growing, I see my number of patients are increasing, I see the positive feedback, I see my staff are getting more hours, then you're doing a good job and I'm going to let you be. And that's a really nice place to be in marketing, because it allows you, you know, at the very start you spoke about like how you make different decisions when you're stressed. When you've got someone on your shoulder all the time going and watching and you know, telling you what to do, you can't be in that creative space. Whereas when you're allowed to just operate, then you can be creative with your work and you can be, you know, you can get better results, I think. So I think I really enjoy that aspect of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll probably ask you, because there is still kind of continuum on that kind of soul, I call it soul tension, and, you know, you have that psychological tension that is more that ego tension that is taking you away from where you want to be.
Mm.
And is that path that we are, you know, when we are in ego, we are like, no, I need to do it this way. And the path where universe is, you know, sending you the other way is like, listen to this flow. This is it.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want to go this
way. Yeah, yeah. Swing against the tide.
So it's kind of like really, really hard, because it's like a force involved. And you said that you try to be in the flow and try to really listen, you know, what is happening and how the universe is kind of taking you on the path. So I will be curious how that plays a role right now in your business, and how do you know, like, you know, I'm on the right path? How do you navigate there?
I can honestly tell you that leading up to my fourth child last year, there was some stress, because it's another child. I've got three other children, and I also had to operate the business, and the mother of the, you know, she was working in the business, and so she was now going to have to take a massive step back, and I relied on her to do a lot of the work. And so there was a lot of stresses, and I probably started to feel that late last year, from October all the way through, and then in December as well. And it's probably this year I've started to do a lot more to try and listen to those things. And so every day I'll be mindful, I meditate every day, I do breath work every day, I journal every day, I exercise in one form or another, whether or not it's go for a run, whether or not it's go to the gym. Oftentimes I do gym and run each day, or even just a walk. On the weekend I took my eldest son out to the hinterland, Gold Coast hinterland. We went for a hike and swim in the waterfalls and stuff like that. And it's interesting that, you know, people often try to search for success. And I wrote a post about this on LinkedIn the other day. I'm not sure if you read it. It was like the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. And have you ever seen Field of Dreams?
I think so, but ages ago.
It's about baseball. Yeah, so it's an old movie.
Yeah.
And in it, there's a whispering voice, spiritual voice, and he keeps hearing it. And it says, build it and they will come. Build it and they will come. And he keeps hearing this. Now, in the movie, it's about building this baseball field and you know, people come.
I remember now.
Yeah. What I was thinking about is like, but that's relevant to ourselves. It's like we try to search for success, right? With people always trying to look for success and find
outside,
it.
Outside.
Yeah, outside. However, if you build it, and in this case, it is you, build you into a formidable force. You know, work on your mindset, work on your physical body, work on your relationships, work on your communications, work so much that you become zen-like, you become bulletproof, that nothing can penetrate you, like nothing can penetrate your mind, and there's no distraction, there's nothing anybody could say. You're so comfortable and calm within who you are that you are just, you're bulletproof. No one can break you. And when you become like that, you don't have to search for anything. That becomes a magnet. And things start to look for you. But you will
absolutely agree.
Yeah, you will just start to attract. Things will start to stick to you. And it's funny, like, you know, that stress I had late last year, and then this year I've made a really, really conscious shift into starting to realign myself again in terms of, like, making sure I do those things. You know, I've always been, you know, I've always done the things I spoke about before, meditation and the gym and things like that. But I was going to be more, you know, almost religious with it. I was going to make sure I did it every day. I use an app on my phone called Streaks to make sure I do those things every single day. And I started to have some new creative ideas, and I've started to implement some of those new ideas already this year. And it's funny how things are already starting to attract.
Yeah.
You know, on my phone, people you can't see, if you're looking at the video, you can see it. But see how on my phone here, it says Hawaii Kids Holiday. And then if I tap it, it says Costa Rica Holiday. If I tap it, see this one here, it says Speak in the
US. You have
all
what I have.
Oh, really?
It's Hawaii and Costa Rica, my next.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So that one there says Speak in the US, right? Mm. And so a goal of mine is to speak in the US, to be a presenter in the US. And then randomly, I got a message yesterday with this guy on Instagram who's part of the dental circuit in the US. And nice. And now we're talking about, like, you know, I want to come and do some presentations over there. But I think that comes down to, like, you know, you can't be misaligned. You can't be unhealthy in mind, unhealthy in body, you know, time poor, stressed, not focused, unproductive, and then expect to find success. It doesn't work like that. And that's what I've learned in my own experience. It's like, no. You got to build it and they will come. Being you, it being you. Yeah. Build yourself out. Make sure that you are the best version of yourself. And you won't have to search for anything. People will search for you. You'll be the magnet that attracts people.
Yeah, I love it. And I don't even want to continue because that's probably the perfect end of conversation because I agree absolutely. And I don't need to ask, you know, what success means to you because, you know, it's just being probably happy with yourself, right? Like
correct.
Being you and build up yourself. I think correct. That's such a great way to say it. And it's such a great way to shift the focus because when I work with very successful people on the paper, right?
Yeah.
From social perspective, you know, they have the best cars, best houses, best places for holidays, and they have really successful businesses for 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm.
And they don't feel they're successful.
Yeah.
They just don't feel it.
Yeah.
They have broken relationships, you know, something most of the time, you know, health issues.
Yeah.
And they don't have a relationship with kids.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because I believe in a core, we are all love, you know, we want to be grateful. We want to be feeling those feelings of joy and purpose, you know, we want to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
But we spend 30 years in life, in business, they are not fulfilling us.
Yeah.
Because we think that making money or money will fulfill us, but that's just such a wrong idea.
Yeah. Why do people want money? People want money because of what it gets. But if you don't appreciate what it gets you.
Yeah. And you have money, you go for a holiday and you're like, okay, but I'm not happy because, you know, people that you want to spend time with, they're not there.
Yeah.
So what's the point to create, you know, experiences when you are not creating that with people that 100%. You love?
Yeah.
So 100%. Amazing. Okay. So tell us what's next for you. Probably there will be one thing and where people can find you, of course.
Yeah, sure. So if you want to look up the agency, it's the Media Anchor. You can go to the website. If you're interested in some marketing, I also do sales training and presenting. So again, you can reach out there. If you want to have a conversation with me, then on Facebook or Instagram, just like Billy Rickman, or I think on Instagram, it's Billy Rickman _. And yeah, happy to help with that. We've got some big things happening this year and I'm super excited about it. But
so what is the big thing that is happening? Tell us a little secret.
I can't tell you just yet, but okay. it's combining my two passions of marketing and sales.
Perfect.
And okay. Giving people a better option in terms of how to succeed with marketing.
Amazing. Yeah. So we will meet again in a few months' time and you will be able to tell us.
Ah, yes.
You can come to tell us everything about
for
your project.
For sure, yeah. Maybe we'll do it in Hawaii.
Yeah, nice. I agree. That's a good plan. Yeah. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it.
Really happy that you came to see me. And in face-to-face is always nice.
Always nice. Better than online, yeah.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Yeah. So for everyone, I will share details about Billy, how you can connect with him in the description of the podcast. So for the next time, I'm sure he will be back because he has a lot of wisdom, especially we need to know what he's going to do in sales and marketing for the next year. So I'm looking forward to it and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.